But that did not last long.
Very true. We soon met with Mrs. Thorpe, and then we wanted for nothing. What was that book you were always reading? Udolphin or some such name? Oh, my dear, do you remember the silk gloves? I put them on new the first time when we went to the upper rooms, you know, and they have lasted me very well since then. Do you remember that evening?
I remember it very well.
Mr. Tilney drank tea with us, yes. And I always thought him a great addition. He's so very agreeable. I have a notion that you danced with him, did you not? Is anything the matter?
Nothing, dear Mrs. Allen.
Perhaps we had better go home. Catherine has been out of sorts since her journey.
Must you? Mind you, you never did like a carriage. I remember you told me so when Mr. Thorpe was forever trying to take you on drives.
May I call on you tomorrow?
Of course you may. Mr. Allen and I are not going anywhere.
As she walked home with her mother in the gathering dusk, Catherine was heedless of the sights and sounds familiar since childhood, and she felt more wretched and abandoned than she had ever done in all of her 17 years.
There is someone to see you, Catherine. He is in the parlour.
Oh, who is it?
It is Mr. Tilney. He seems very agitated. I think you must go through and see him, Catherine.
Yes.
Miss Morland, I am glad to see you. To see that you are safe with your family.
She is safe now, but it was an extraordinary circumstance that brought her back to us.
I came here to apologise with all my heart to you and your family. You have every right to despise the name of Tilney.
I could never despise that name.
There is no excuse for my father's behaviour. When I heard what he had done, I broke with him. Utterly. I no longer have a home at Northanger Abbey.
That cannot be prudent.
Why did General Tilney behave in so rude a manner? I cannot think how Catherine could have offended him.
My father believed your daughter to be very rich. He believed, in short, that she was to inherit from Mr. Allen.
Where could he have gained such a pernicious notion?
From Isabella Thorpe's brother, John. He attached himself to my father in Bath and wished to brag about his wealthy connection.
He had no cause to believe such a thing.
He believed what he wanted to believe. Latterly, when he realised that you could never care for him, Thorpe met my father in London and now represented you as an absolute pauper. My father returned to Northanger Abbey in a fury of disappointment. The rest you know.
I don't know which of the untruths is the more wicked. Catherine is no heiress. But when the time comes, she will have a settlement of £3,000. That may not mean much to your father, Mr. Tilney. But my daughter is no pauper, sir.
Mr. Morland, believe me, I know she is above value.
Well, sir, you have made an apology, and there is an end of it. What do you say, Catherine?
I am glad you came. While I was at Northanger, I knew only kindness from you and your sister.
And let me say that friends of our children are always welcome here.
I would like, while I'm here, to pay my respects to Mrs. Allen. Perhaps Miss Morland could guide me there?
Oh, there is no need. You can see the Allen's house from here.
I would be pleased to show you.
But, Catherine, you've only just returned from there.
Perhaps it might be best if she were to show you. The path is not always clear. Do not be long, my dear.
Yes, Mama. Mrs. Allen will be pleased to see you. She was talking of you earlier.
Miss Morland, Catherine, there is something else I must say to you.
Yes.
Over the past weeks, I have come to know my own feelings. I have loved and I have not spoken. I have no right to ask you after all that has happened, but in all humility, in spite of my father, I want you to be my wife.
Yes.
You will?
I want to, with all my heart, but how can I when your father is set against us?
We are beyond his reach now.
We are not. For while he objects, my parents will never consent.
Dearest, I do not know how, but I will make things right between our families. If you are content to marry me, I will prove to you over and over again the truth of my love.
I am content.
While your father expressly forbids the union, we cannot in conscience sanction it.
I understand your scruples, sir, but I fear my father will not prove reasonable, to judge from his actions to date.
We could not knowingly place Catherine in such an unhappy situation, as would be the case were we to sow discord between a son and his father.
The discord is already there.
Don't fidget with your handkerchief so, Catherine.
Then you must reason with your father, Mr. Tilney. We only seek his consent, mind. There is nothing further that we want or expect from him. But the decent appearance of consent must be yielded.
So Henry and Catherine parted, uncertain of their future. Whether the torments of absence were softened by clandestine correspondence, let us not inquire. Mr. and Mrs. Morland never did. It was almost Christmas when Catherine received a most surprising visit from Eleanor Tilney, with news that was as welcome as it was unexpected.
Married? You are to be married?
Yes.
Not Mr. Lockwood?
Yes.
But the General was set against him. What can have changed his mind?
It is not a circumstance that reflects well on my father, but that may not surprise you.
What is it? Please, I must know.
On the death of an uncle, Frank suddenly and unexpectedly inherited a title and a fortune. Oh. Now that he is a Viscount, my father has replaced his former aversion with warm regard.
Never mind the circumstance. It is wonderful news. You shall have the happiness you deserve.
It is a happiness I intend you to share in. My engagement has thrown my father into a fit of good humour, which we have used to the advantage of you and Henry. Both I and Mr. Lockwood have set about persuading my father.
Dear Eleanor, do you imagine he will listen to you?
He already has. We would not give up until he consented to see reason. Henry is admitted back to Northanger. He is coming to you bearing a letter of consent.
Henry, coming here?
Yes, dear Catherine.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
Well, save your words for Henry. Our happiness started in Bath and then was taken away from us. Now we shall reclaim it.
The marriage duly took place in the chapel at Northanger Abbey. When the wedding was over, Henry and Catherine set out to drive to their new home at Woodston.
Well, I've come to wish you Godspeed. You are a Tilney now, Catherine, and I know you'll always remember the duties of service and honour that go with that name. And you, Henry, would do well to remember your duty to your wife, sir.
Yes, Father.
And remember your duty to each other is to be happy. Oh, goodbye, Catherine. Goodbye, Henry.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Catherine had learned that life is very different from fiction. Charming as are all of Mrs. Radcliffe's works and those of her imitators, it is not in them that human nature, at least in the Midland counties of England, is to be looked for. Of the Alps and Pyrenees, with their pine forests and their vices, they may give a faithful delineation. And Italy, Switzerland and the south of France might be as fruitful of horrors as are there represented. I cannot even speak for the northern and western extremities of our own country. But in the central part of England, murder is not tolerated. Servants are not slaves, and a husband and wife can live together in safety and happiness.
You are very thoughtful, dearest.
I was thinking about what Eleanor said.
We will be happy. Are you sure you will not mind not being mistress of Northanger Abbey?
Oh, not in the least. An abbey is all very well in its way, but a parsonage can truly be a home.
In episode 3 of Northanger Abbey, Jane Austen was played by Amanda Root, Catherine by Emily Wachter, and Henry by David Harewood. General Tilney was played by John Shrapnel, and Eleanor by Saskia Reeves. Mr. Morland was played by Gerard McDermott, Mrs. Morland by Susan Jameson, and Mrs. Allen by Julia McKenzie. Isabella was played by Claire Skinner, and James by Shiv Graywall. Northanger Abbey was written by Jane Austen and dramatised by Dominic Power. The composer was Peter Weigold, and the director was Pam Fraser-Solomon.
Jill! Well, here we are, girls.
Is this it? Is this really it?
It would appear so, Marianne. Oh, look, there's Izzy. Doesn't it seem odd to find her here? She'll have made everything ready for us, I'm sure. Come along now.
So small. Why, the whole of the house would fit inside our drawing room at Norland.
That's not so very surprising. Norland was a particularly large house, and isn't this a pretty spot? You said yourself, the countryside's beautiful around here.
Let's go and look inside, shall we?
I can't. Eleanor, I can't go in there. I feel as though I'm betraying my beloved Norland.
Everything is bound to seem strange at first. And we've had a very tiring journey, but we must try to be cheerful. For Mama's sake, if not our own.
It's not even pretty. If it had to be a cottage, it could at least have had honeysuckle around the door.
Where shall I put this, Mom?
Take it through to the kitchen for now, Izzy. Oh. Look, girls, doesn't our furniture look well in here?
Oh, it does, Mama. It looks like home already.
This room really is a very reasonable size, larger than I'd hoped.
Your pianoforte, Marianne, it survived the journey. Imagine it coming all the way from Sussex on a boat.
I expect it will be out of tune. And the bedrooms are quite adequate. There's one which will do very well for you, Eleanor. The light is perfect for drawing.
Good. I'll go and have a look.
Who's this? Oh. Oh, surely not now.
Who is it?
Well, it looks like Sir John. Yes, it is. And that must be his wife. Oh, dear. Why are they coming when we've only just arrived? There's nothing to be done. Do I look presentable?
Entirely.
Right then. Izzy, we have visitors.
Oh, very inconsiderate.
I'm sure they're only trying to be friendly.
Hello!
Oh, hello?
Oh, good heavens, fancy coming to the window like that.
Oh, goodness, it wasn't open.
I really don't want to see anyone. I'm going upstairs.
No, it's too late.
That's it. Do mind the boxes, Lady Middleton. Now, may I present my daughters?
But no, let me guess. Ah, you must be Miss Eleanor Dashwood?
Yes.
The taller one, your mother told me, you see.
Good afternoon, Sir John.
And you must be Miss Marianne Dashwood.
Yes.
Excellent. How old are you, Miss Marianne?
I'm 16.
16? Yes. The last time I saw you, you were still in your crib. And you had not long been walking, Miss Dashwood?
I'm afraid we don't remember.
And look at you now. Splendid young ladies and monstrous pretty. They shall set some hearts a-fluttering hereabouts. Isn't that right, my dear?
To be sure. I'm very pleased to meet you.
And you, Lady Middleton.
Would you like some tea? I'm sure we can manage to...
No, thank you.
No, wouldn't dream of it. It was only that we were passing and thought we'd see that you'd arrive safely.
And we would like to invite you to dine with us at Barton Park tomorrow evening.
Oh, how very kind.
Yes. Come and look the old place over. Take a peek at my brood.
Really? Sir John? Such a word.
Four of them now, you know.
Yes.
Do you like little ones?
We...
Of course you do. All the young ladies like little ones. Now, do you have everything you need?
Yes, thank you.
My man came to fix that latch, did he?
Yes, I believe so.
Excellent.
And may I just say, Sir John, I know I have expressed it many times in my letters, but may I just thank you in person for offering us a refuge?
No, my dear cousin, it's a pleasure, a privilege. Darned difficult, these cases.
Yes.
Your stepson has inherited Norland, I understand.
Yes. My husband's son from his first marriage, Mr. John Dashwood.
And then it will pass to his son.
Yes, of course. Of course it will. That's the way of these things.
He and his wife were most obliging in allowing us to stay on at Norland for some time.
They were really very kind.
But when one has been mistress of a house, to find oneself a guest, well, I'm sure you can imagine.
Dreadful.
Sussex has lost and Devonshire has gained. That's what I say. I have found three splendid young ladies to live in my cottage. And there's not a gentleman in sight to compete with me for the pheasants. Eh?
She's sleeping. I just looked in on her.
I'm glad. Oh, my poor Marianne. Do you think she will be all right? She does feel things so very strongly.
I'm sure she will be, given time. I'm sure we will all be all right.
Do you know what I wish?
What, Mama?
I wish that your brother and his selfish wife would come here to visit, so that I could slam the door in their faces.
Mama, you don't mean that.
To think that he swore when your dear father was dying that he would look after us. And what has he done? Thrown us out into the world without a penny of support.
He hardly threw us out.
We could hardly stay at Norland, to be sneered at and looked down upon by Mrs. Fanny Dashwood.
We will manage perfectly well. We have £10,000 between us, and the interest on it, don't forget.
I suppose so.
We have no horses, no carriage, only Izzy and Cook to think of. If ever you are worried, I will sit down and look through the accounts with you, make sure we're not overspending.
Oh, my dear girl, what would I do without you? And don't imagine I'm not aware of what this is costing you. For Marianne and I, it was simply leaving Norland. For you, it meant leaving Edward, too.
Oh, Mama.
If one thing could have induced me to tolerate that selfish woman, it would have been so as not to deprive you of her brother's company. In spite of all her disapproval, he was clearly falling in love with you.
Mama, I think perhaps you overestimate the strength of the attachment between myself and Mr. Edward Ferrars. That he has feelings for me, I will not deny. A partiality, as I do for him. But he has never given me cause to hope of love.
He is shy, that's all. Hopelessly shy.
And we must remember that he is very far from being independent. What his mother really is, we cannot know, but from Fanny's description of her conduct and opinions, we cannot think her amiable. And I am very much mistaken if Edward is not himself aware that there would be many difficulties in his way if he were to wish to marry a woman who had not either a great fortune or high rank.
Yes, but
I cannot allow my imagination to run unfettered. And I must beg you to assist me by controlling yours. It is hard enough to manage Marianne's expectations.
Very well. I will only say one thing more. Hmm. Mr. Edward Ferrars will be knocking on our door before Christmas.
Mama.
He will not be able to stop himself, distance or no distance.
Look, I knew. Look around the top.
So Mama, clean. Mama!
Please don't pull my ribbons.
Oh, darling.
Oh, leave your mother's hair alone, William. That's a good boy. Isn't it time they went upstairs, Mary dear? Where's Nurse?
Why, Miss Marianne plays splendidly, splendidly.
She has always had a gift for music.
Oh, she does indeed. Mary used to play, didn't you, dear? We spent a small fortune on lessons.
Yes, I gave up music when I married. I miss it terribly.
It's turning into quite a party after all. If only I could have mustered a few more people for you. But by the time I did the rounds yesterday, everyone had engaged themselves elsewhere. I hope you aren't too disappointed, Miss Dashwood.
Not in the least, Sir John.
Why, I take that rather amiss, Sir John. I am here. Colonel Brandon is here. What more could they possibly want?
We are perfectly satisfied, I assure you.
Yes, yes, Mama, quite right. No offence intended.
I think we are very much offended, are we not, Colonel Brandon?
No. Unforgivably, sir.
I say, does she sing?
Oh, yes, very well.
I must find her some songs to play. I know we have some somewhere.
Oh, William, don't hit, dear. Nurse!
Excuse me.
And where are you going, Colonel?
A little closer to the piano, Mrs. Jennings, so that I might listen.
Too noisy for you, are we? I dare say anywhere would be too noisy for him.
If you will excuse me, I think I will follow the Colonel's example.
Annoying fellow never cease with his demands. I hear you cry.
No, I will gladly sing. I really must have some music if I'm...
But I have it. I have it. Look here. There must be one in here that takes your fancy.
No. Do you enjoy music, Colonel Brandon?
Ah, Mr. Dashwood, yes. Yes, I do, though I rarely have the opportunity to hear it played so skillfully or with such engaging conviction.
Mm. It is not in my sister's nature to do a thing half-heartedly.
This one, I think.
Oh, excellent, an excellent choice. Miss Marianne is going to sing, everyone.
I hope you're settling in at Barton Cottage.
We are, thank you. I think we will be happy here. Do you live in the village?
No, I have a house some miles away from Barton. At Delaford, but Sir John seems to require my company from time to time. I'm afraid you'll often find me here. Good Lord.
Sir.
Forgive me, it's only... It's many years since I've heard this song.
It's one of Marianne's favourites.
And one of mine.
Quickly, Mrs. Dashwood.
They do.
Why, it seems no time at all since my girls were the same age as yours are, and now they are both married and with children of their own. And both well married. Oh, yes. I did a very good job there, and nobody can tell me otherwise.
That must be very gratifying.
And now look, Miss Marianne has found an admirer of her own.
Who? Colonel Brandon?
Yes. Look at the way he's gazing at her. I never saw him look so. She's very honoured, I'm sure. I've been trying to marry him off ever since I met him, but he's proved quite intractable. I put it down to his past. A very interesting past, shall we say?
Oh.
But what a match it would be!
We are not giving such matters any great consideration at present. Marianne is still so young.
He has £2,000 a year and a very fine property. Oh, yes. He is rich and she is handsome. What could be more perfect?
Colonel Brandon? She didn't really say that.
Yes, she did.
You mean to say that all the time I was singing yesterday, she was marrying me off to a man who is old enough to be my father?
I'm afraid Mrs. Jennings is a rather incorrigible lady.
Do you not think it strange that she should be Lady Middleton's mother?
No stranger than Sir John being Lady Middleton's husband, or Colonel Brandon, Sir John's friend, come to that.
Pass the jam, please, dear. He did listen to my music most attentively. For that I was certainly obliged to him. But surely he is a confirmed old bachelor.
He is 35, apparently. That's 5 years younger than me.
I think some would consider him quite handsome. His eyes have great integrity.
He certainly has the most gentlemanly address.
But if he were ever animated enough to be in love, he must have long outlived every sensation of the kind. I really think that Mrs. Jennings was making fun of him. It's too bad. When is a man to be safe from such wit if age and infirmity will not protect him?
Infirmity? Surely you are
Did
not...
you not hear him complain of the rheumatism?
Oh, Marianne.
He mentioned a slight rheumatic pain in one of his shoulders.
But he talked of flannel waistcoats. And with me, a flannel waistcoat is connected with aches and cramps and every species of ailment that can afflict the old and feeble.
Heather, we're almost at the top.
It's easier by the path.
Nonsense. Give me your hand. There. You know, I really believe that I will never see a man who can satisfy my ideas of perfection.
That's because you read a great deal too much Cowper.
One can never have too much Cowper. There now. Look at that. Look at the sky. Could any sight be more conducive to felicity?
Oh, there's the cottage. Look, right down there. We've come full circle. Oh, come on.
I would rather aspire to an ideal and fail to find it than force myself to settle for a man who is anything less than perfect. Oh, Eleanor, I didn't mean...
What? Oh, I see. You were thinking about Edward.
No, I wasn't when I said it. I mean, I'm not now. I have the highest opinion in the world of Edward. I think him everything that is worthy and amiable.
Goodness. I'm sure that even his dearest friends could not be dissatisfied with such a commendation.
You must know what I mean.
It's all right. But you do not know Edward as well as I.
I've spent a great deal more time with him than you have.
Yes, that's true.
His abilities in every respect improve as much upon acquaintance as his manners and person.
Really?
I have found his mind to be very well informed. His imagination lively. His taste delicate and pure.
But he does not like drawing.
No, but he admires my drawings.
Nor can he read aloud. Nor can he write, it would appear. He has not written you a single letter since we came away from Norland.
We have only been gone 2 weeks. And besides, I would not expect him to write to me. It's not as if we are...
But you should. If I were in love, I would expect my lover to write me the longest letters every single day.
Marianne, don't talk like that.
Like what? Surely you are not pretending that you and Edward are not in love. What?
I do not attempt to deny that I think very highly of Edward Ferrars. That I greatly esteem him. That I like him.
Esteem? Like? Cold-hearted, Eleanor. Oh, worse than cold-hearted. Ashamed of being otherwise.
That isn't true.
Use such words again and I will run away from you.
Marianne, really?
I will. I will run all the way down this hill and never stop until I hit the garden gate unless you tell me that you love him.
Don't.
Say it then.
Very well. Believe my feelings to be stronger than I have declared them to be.
Not good enough. Tell me that you love him.
Too
late!
Marianne, the grass is too wet. Marianne, you silly...
Marianne!
Oh, wait, stay there. I'm coming, stay there. Are you all right?
Yes. It's just my ankle, I think.
Do you think you can stand?
I don't know.
Lean on me. That's it. Let me see.
No,
if I can...
Oh, no, I can't.
Hello there.
Oh, hello.
May I be of assistance?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's my sister.
I saw her fall. Please, allow me. No, no, don't try to stand. I shall carry you.
Willoughby, his back is here. That is good news. I will ride over tomorrow and ask him to dinner.
You know the young man, then?
To be sure I do. Why, he's down here every year. Did he say he had come from Allenham?
He told us nothing except his name. He deposited Marianne upon the sofa very carefully, and then he left.
Although he did ask if he might call on us tomorrow.
Yes. I invited him to sit down, of course, but he said his clothes were dirty.
He had been hunting.
Ah, yes, that's Willoughby. All right. A very decent shot, and there's not a bolder rider in England. Handsome fellow, eh?
Uncommonly so.
What do you say, Miss Marianne? A handsome fellow, your preserver? Eh?
I wasn't really able to look at his face.
It all happened very quickly, and Marianne was rather embarrassed.
But who is he, Sir John? Does he have a house at Allenham?
Not yet. He comes to stay with the reclusive old lady at Allenham Court. Mrs. Smith, she's his great aunt, I believe, and he stands to inherit the lot when she goes. Yes, yes. He is very well worth catching, Miss Dashwood. He has a pretty little estate of his own in Somersetshire, besides, and if I were you... I wouldn't give him up to my younger sister.
We are only glad to know that he is a respectable young man.
Oh, he's as good a sort of fellow as ever lived. I remember last Christmas, at a little hop at the park, he danced from 8 o'clock till 4 without sitting down once.
Did he? And with elegance? With spirit?
I should say so.
That's what I like. Whatever a young man's pursuits might be, his eagerness should know no moderation.
I see how it will be. You will be setting your cap at him now and never think of poor Brandon again.
That is an expression, Sir John, which I particularly despise.
Yes, yes, indeed. Poor Brandon. He is quite smitten already, and he is very well worth setting your cap at, I can tell you, in spite of all this tumbling about and spraining of ankles.
Sit down, Mr. Willoughby.
Thank you. I'm extremely glad to see that you're recovering, Miss Marianne. I hope you're not in too much discomfort.
Hardly any. It was only the slightest sprain. All my own doing, of course. Selina told me not to run down the hill. I should have listened to her.
I'm sure Miss Dashwood had your best interests at heart, but I must confess that I myself have been tempted to run down that hill before now.
Have you really?
And have done so, on more than one occasion. Though I had the advantage of sturdy boots and a rifle to steady myself if need be.
We were very fortunate that you were passing, Mr. Willoughby.
I think the luck was all mine. You know, it's strange. I have passed by this cottage many times over the years and wish there might be a happy family living here. And how charming you've made it all, Mrs. Dashwood.
Thank you.
This room, it could not be more enchanting.
Most of the furniture was my mother's. The quality is very fine.
Indeed. And these drawings, whose are these?
Oh, they're mine, my own work.
But they are excellent. Well, you've captured the line of trees with such precision.
You are too kind.
Do you like to draw, Mr. Willoughby?
Yes, very much, although I have not half your sister's skill.
Nor do I. I prefer to express myself through music.
So the pianoforte is yours?
Yes.
I play too.
Oh, do you? What music do you play?
It depends on the occasion, but Mozart is my favourite.
Mine too.
Why, we must play duets together.
Yes.
How lovely.
I would like that very much.
Well, Sir John is thinking of giving a ball next week. Now we must absolutely insist that he does.
Yes. Yes, we must. Come to say goodnight. What do you think of my hair like this? If I pin it here and here?
Yes, I think it suits you very well. But then I always think you look lovely. Shall I brush it?
Yes, thank you.
So, I suppose you're going to have to take it back.
Take what back?
What you said about never finding your ideal.
Oh, yes. I think I might have to.
Although, what you two will talk about in future, I can't possibly imagine. You have already ascertained Mr. Willoughby's opinion of Cowper and Scott, and have received every assurance of his admiring Pope no more than is proper. Another meeting will suffice to explain his sentiments on picturesque beauty, and then you will have nothing further to ask.
I know what you're implying, that I've been too much at my ease. I've been open and sincere, where I ought to have been reserved, spiritless, dull and deceitful.
I was only jesting.
You do like him, though, don't you?
Of course I do. How could I not? I am happy to report, dear sister, that I am extremely gratified to have made the acquaintance of Mr. Willoughby of Allen.
So am I. So am I.
Thank you for dancing with me, Miss Dashwood.
It was my pleasure, Colonel.
And thank you, moreover, for agreeing that we might stop. There's only so much humiliation a man can endure.
I think you do yourself an injustice.
No, this is not my natural environment. I am a great deal more at ease on a horse.
Willoughby, you must move to your left.
But then I shall lose you. I refuse to do it.
Gentlemen to the left! Gentlemen to the left!
Willoughby, you can't!
Your sister is in high spirits tonight.
She is. Do you know Mr. Willoughby?
I have met him on a number of occasions. I was interested to hear her speaking earlier about her views on second attachments.
Ah, yes.
She does not approve of them.
She does not even think them possible. Her opinions are all romantic. A person might fall in love once and only once. However, I dare say a few years' experience of the world will settle her ideas on the reasonable basis of common sense and observation.
Does she make no distinction in her objections? For those who have been disappointed in their first choice, perhaps, or fallen victim to the perverseness of circumstances?
I fear she does not.
This cannot hold. But a change, a total change of sentiment. No, I would never desire that. For when the romantic refinements of a young mind are obliged to give way, how frequently they are succeeded by opinions too common and too dangerous. I once knew a lady who in temper and mind greatly resembled your sister, but who from an enforced change, from a series of unfortunate circumstances. But there, I am rambling.
Not at all, please.
Oh, what not dancing, Colonel? But you must. You hand your rival the advantage. Look.
Where are we walking to?
I thought we would follow our usual path.
No. We have provisions today.
And a guide.
Indeed. We must be a great deal more adventurous.
Yeah, it's a pity we can't go to Allenham, but I fear it would be a little too far.
Well, how far is it, Willoughby?
About 6 miles.
That's no distance at all.
Marianne, 6 miles there and 6 miles back, remember?
You shall see it soon, I promise.
I hope so.
Let's follow your usual path and then head up into the woods. We can eat our lunch beneath the trees.
And watch for Queen Mab.
Precisely.
I think that sounds perfect. Will you be joining us on the party to Whitwell next week, Mr. Willoughby?
Of course he will.
Well, that's a charming house too. Though it's the gardens there that are most impressive. The lake is wonderful.
You've been before?
Oh, yes. Sir John takes a party there at least twice every summer.
It belongs to a relative of Colonel Brandon, does it not?
It does. That's the only reason we're allowed to visit. And this year the company will be a great deal more conducive to pleasure. Last year I had Mrs. Jennings on my arm for almost the entire day.
Oh, poor Willoughby.
I say, isn't Brandon a pointless fellow, though?
Colonel Brandon?
Well, he's just the sort of man whom everybody speaks well of, and yet nobody cares for at all.
Oh, that's exactly what I think.
Do not boast of it, however, for it is most unjust in both of you. He is highly esteemed by all the family at the park, and I never see him myself without taking pains to converse with him.
That he is patronised by you, Miss Dashwood, is certainly in his favour. But as for the esteem of the others, well, who would submit to the indignity of being approved by such women as Lady Middleton and Mrs. Jennings?
Quite.
And that is not only unjust, but prejudiced, too.
Eleanor!
Well, in defence of her protégé, she can even be impudent.
My protégé, as you call him, is a sensible man. And sense will always have attractions for me. He's had a fine career. He has seen a great deal of the world and is very well read. I found him capable of giving me much information on various subjects.
That is to say, he's told that in the East Indies the climate is very hot.
And the mosquito is troublesome.
And I believe him to be possessed of a very amiable heart.
And impassioned defence. Why, anyone might think that she...
No, no, Willoughby. You mustn't think that. My sister's affections are otherwise engaged. Let's speak no more of the Colonel. Let's sing as we walk.
Yes.
We must sing to rival the birds.
Excellent, you're the last, Willoughby. Now we are all assembled. Let's eat a hearty breakfast and then we can get on our way.
There's a place here, Mr. Willoughby.
Why, thank you, Miss Marianne.
The carriages will be ready at 10:30 and we shall be at Whitwell by midday.
Why, what a breakfast this is, cousin.
We shall have a job to squeeze into the carriages after this.
Best to eat well before a journey, that's what I always say.
A letter for you, Colonel Brandon.
Thank you, Lady Middleton.
We are very fortunate with the weather, are we not?
Oh, we are.
Especially after the rain last night.
Are you all right, Colonel?
One moment, please.
What's the matter with Brandon?
I hope it is not bad news. He turned terribly pale.
No bad news, Colonel, I hope.
Not at all, ma'am. I thank you. It is merely a letter of business.
Oh, but how came the hand to discompose you so? Oh, come, come, Colonel, let us hear the truth of it.
Mama, please, recollect what you are saying.
I am particularly sorry, Lady Middleton, that I should receive this letter today, for it is on business which requires my immediate attendance in town.
In town? What can you have to do in town at this time of year?
My own loss is great in being obliged to leave so agreeable a party, but I am the more concerned as I fear my presence is necessary to gain your admittance at Whitwell.
Then you cannot go to town until tomorrow, and that's the end of it.
I am afraid it is not in my power to delay my journey, even for a day.
Good heavens!
If you write a note to the housekeeper at Whitwell, Mr. Brandon, will that not be sufficient?
I am afraid not, Miss Marianne.
Oh, how unfortunate.
Well, you would not be 6 hours later if you were to defer your journey until after our return, Colonel.
I think we must allow the Colonel to leave.
I agree.
Very well. I shall order your horses brought round.
Thank you.
When will you return, Colonel?
Forgive me, but I really cannot say. My profound apologies.
Well, I can guess what his business is.
Really, ma'am?
Oh, yes. It is about Miss Williams, I'm sure.
Mama, who is Miss Williams?
What, you do not know? She's a relation of the Colonel's, my dear, a very near relation. I will not say how near, for fear of shocking you.
Let us eat breakfast. I'm sure it will be cold.
She's his natural daughter.
Indeed.
What a blur, eh? We shall just have to eat lunch here, on the lawn, perhaps. The children would enjoy that.
Yes.
Come, Marianne.
Oh,
Thank you for the breakfast, Lady Middleton.
And where are you two going?
To take a drive around the countryside. Would you care to join us, Mum?
There is just room in the curricle, I think, between myself and Miss Marianne.
Oh, good heavens, no, no, I couldn't possibly.
Then we shall see you all soon.
For lunch?
Mama.
Yes, Marianne, my love.
Wait a moment.
I'll wager he's taking her to Allenham.
Why should you think?
Will he be showing her the house which will be hers one day? And a very fine house it is, too. Though the furniture needs replacing by all accounts.
Goodbye. Thank you, Willoughby.
Oh, what a day. What a heavenly day.
Where have you been?
Why? It's not very late.
We were expecting you at Sir John's for lunch.
You didn't promise we would return.
We were too far away to come back. Where were you? I hope you did not go to
Allenham. Yes, we did, as it happens. Why should you imagine we would not? You've often wished to go there yourself.
Yes, but I would not go while Mrs. Smith was there uninvited and with no other companion than Mr. Willoughby.
Willoughby is the only person who can have a right to show that house. And as you went in an open carriage, it was impossible to have any other companion.
Whatever must she have thought?
We didn't meet her.
I don't understand.
I really don't know why you're making such a fuss. I've never spent a lovelier day in my life.
My dear Marianne, you have exposed yourself to some very impertinent remarks and...
What's this?
I hope you are not arguing, girls.
I'm going upstairs to change.
Mama, surely this cannot be right. Her name is becoming inseparable from his, and we have no grounds whatsoever to believe that an understanding exists between them.
We have all the grounds in the world. Who could doubt it who has seen the way they behave together?
Then why do they not speak of it? It is not in their natures, either of their natures, to keep their feelings to themselves. If they are truly engaged to one another, why do they not tell us?
That I cannot know. Though I suspect it might be due to some difficulty regarding his aunt's approval of the match.
Then surely that's all the more reason to ascertain exactly...
I dare say a marriage would not be possible at present. Until he comes into his inheritance, Willoughby has not a large income. You have heard yourself how often he complains of being short of money. Listen. 2 days ago, I passed by this door when they were alone in here together, and I saw her give him a lock of her hair. He kissed it and wrapped it carefully and put it in his pocketbook. Surely that is proof enough.
I think you should ask her outright if they are engaged.
No, I won't. I will not force a confession. We must trust your sister's judgment in this matter.
Oh, good. You're back, Mum.
Whose carriage is that, is it?
It's Mr. Willoughby's, Mum. He's in the sitting room with Miss Marianne.
No wonder she wouldn't accompany us to Barton Park. He must have promised to come to her.
I can't. Marianne?
Marianne, what is it, dear? Why, what's the matter with her, Willoughby? Is she ill?
I hope not. It is I who may rather expect to be ill, for I am now suffering under a heavy disappointment.
Disappointment?
What's happened?
Mrs. Smith has this morning exercised the privilege of riches upon a poor relation by sending me on business to London. I've just taken my leave of Allenham, and now I come to take my leave of you.
Is that all? It is unfortunate, of course, but I hope your business will not detain you long.
Very kind. But as I just explained to Miss Marianne, I have no idea of returning into Devonshire at present. My visits to my aunt are never repeated within the 12 months.
But Willoughby, is Allenham the only house where you are welcome? For shame! Can you wait for an invitation here?
You are too good.
I will not press you to return immediately. Only you can judge how far that might be pleasing or displeasing to Mrs. Smith. But
my engagements at present are of such a nature that... This is folly. I will not torment myself by remaining amongst friends whose society it is now impossible for me to enjoy. I must say goodbye.
Goodbye. Sit down, Mama.
I can't believe it.
Something more than what he owned to must have happened. Why else should he be so unwilling to accept your invitation?
It was not inclination that he wanted. I could plainly see that. Mrs. Smith is the cause of this, I'm certain.
Perhaps, but His behaviour was so strange. I'm fond of Willoughby, you know that. These last few weeks I've almost come to love him as a brother, but... But what do we really know about him? What do we know of his past?
Oh, Eleanor! How incomprehensible are your feelings? You would rather take evil upon credit than good.
No, no, Mama. It is only that... I sometimes fear that you and Marianne see things in such a similar light, and sometimes I worry...
I will hear no more. I am going to comfort Marianne.
Of course.
And I hope you will not think of speaking to her in such an unhelpful manner. I have great confidence in Willoughby.
Thank you very much. Good day.
Oh, you've got there first. Was it the boy with the post?
Yes. It's just a letter from Mama. Nothing else.
Ah. Oh, well. What are you thinking of doing this afternoon?
Doing? I really don't know.
I thought I might go for a walk. Looks like the rain will hold off. Why don't you come with me?
No. Thank you.
Please, Marianne, I would so appreciate your company. Oh, does it feel good to be out again?
I suppose so.
We'll just walk as far as the village, shall we? And then we'll turn back.
I'd rather not go to the village. I don't feel like making conversation today.
Of course. We won't then. Marianne...
You must have decided it's not worth writing because he's coming back sooner than you thought.
Yes. Perhaps. Though it's only been a few days.
Five.
And if his business was as pressing as it seemed to be...
Of course it was pressing, or he wouldn't have left.
Quite. Goodness, how cold it is. Winter is certainly on the way.
Everyone of interest will soon go to London.
Not everyone of interest will go, but I'm sure...
Look!
What?
There, on the ridge. A horse and a rider.
Yes, I see.
He's coming here. It's him!
Oh, Marianne, no, wait! I think you are mistaken. The person is not tall enough. He is not his heir.
That's his coat! His horse! I knew he would come! Willoughby! Willoughby!
Good morning, Miss Dashwood.
Look, Eleanor. Edward has come.
Thank you for lunch, Mrs. Dashwood. It was quite delicious.
You are most welcome. I thought you must be hungry after your journey. Move your chair a little closer to the fire. I think it needs a little more wood, Eleanor.
Yes.
Allow me, please.
Thank you.
Where did you say you had come from, Edward?
From Plymouth. From some friends near Plymouth.
I still can't forgive you for not calling on your way there. He's here now. That's what matters.
Are you sure you must leave tomorrow?
I'm afraid I must. I would like to stay longer, of course, but I cannot allow myself the pleasure.
Why ever not? Anyone would think you were punishing yourself for something.
I only meant I must return to London.
And what are Mrs. Ferrer's views for you at present? Are you still to be a famous orator in spite of yourself?
I hope my mother is now convinced that I have no more talent than inclination for a public life. I have no wish to be distinguished. I wish, as well as everybody else, to be happy, but it must be in my own way. Greatness will not make it so.
Strange if it could. What of wealth or grandeur to do with happiness?
Grandeur has but little, but I fear that wealth has much to do with it.
Money can only give happiness where there is nothing else to give it. Beyond a degree of comfort, it can afford no real satisfaction. Only love can do that. So what profession have you settled on, Edward?
None, as yet. I have only decided that I must have one, at all costs. It has been a heavy misfortune to me that I have had no necessary business to engage me or afford me anything like independence. But unfortunately, my own nicety and the nicety of my friends have made me what I am, an idle, helpless being.
You must not be too hard on yourself.
Do you still think of the church?
Yes, I still believe my nature is best suited to the church.
Yes.
The church is not smart enough for my family, it seems.
Surely it is not your family who must be pleased by it. Well, I dare say it will all become clear in time. And the consequence will be, since leisure has not promoted your own happiness, that your sons will be brought up to as many pursuits, professions and trades as is possible.
They will be brought up to be as unlike myself as is possible, in feeling, in action, in condition, in everything.
Good heavens. You are in a melancholy humour.
Mama, shall we go and make certain that Edward's room is being properly prepared?
Oh, I'm sure Izzy has... Yes. Yes, we should do that.
We won't be long.
The countryside around here seems to be...
I'm glad to hear that John and Fanny are well.
Yes. I think... If you will excuse me, I think I must go and see that my horse is all right.
Oh.
That she's been fed and so forth.
Of course, yes.
Please, excuse me.
Where has he gone?
To see to his horse.
What? Oh, really, it is too much. I could almost dislike him.
To be so, Marianne, please stop. He is clearly worried or upset about something.
Yes, but to be so
and
very...
We should not blame him for that or feel slighted by it either. On the contrary, we should do everything in our power to make him feel happier while he is with us. I must ask you to help me with that.
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm out.
Marianne!
Good Lord.
I was willing you to play the club, and then you did. For someone so generally unable to conceal things, Edward, Marianne is marvellously clever at hiding the fact that she is down to her last card.
She is indeed.
Let's play again. Will you deal, Edward? And be sure to deal me another winning hand.
I shall try not to.
Oh, look at your ring. Edward, may I see?
It's...
I never saw you wear a ring before. Who does that lock of hair? Is it Fanny's? I remember her promising to give you some. Surely her hair is darker. Oh.
Yes, it is my sister's hair. The setting always casts a different shade on it, you know.
Yes. It is a pity you can't stay another night, Edward. We have just had an invitation from Sir John to dine at Barton Park tomorrow evening. He says he has two new acquaintances whom he is desperate for us to meet.
Ooh, how very intriguing.
I'm quite sure they won't be. I dare say it will be two elderly spinsters who they used to see at church sometimes.
He writes that he is hoping to raise a modest ball.
Ball? Why? Who on earth would dance? Everyone is in town.
There are still the
birds. I will certainly not dance. Until I can dance with Willoughby again, I will not dance at all.
Really? And who is Willoughby?
He's a gentleman who sometimes comes to stay.
It's all right, Eleanor. I want Edward to know. Mr. Willoughby is someone I think a great deal of.
I see.
And I hope that very soon I will be able to... And I hope you shall like him very much.
Dear girl.
I'm sure I shall.
Come now, deal another hand, Edward, and I shall join him this time.
Goodbye. Come back soon.
Goodbye, Edward, dear.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
You needn't come with me. It's so cold.
I'll just walk you to your horse.
Marianne is very much attached to this gentleman, Mr. Willoughby.
She is.
Then I sincerely hope...
Yes. So do I.
I want you... I want you both to be happy. I want nothing so much in the world as that. Well...
I hope the weather is kind to you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I was just going to look for my sketchbook. I think I'll do some...
I'm sorry that he's gone.
Yes, it's a pity.
But Eleanor, I'm sure it won't be long before... The ring. It was your hair, wasn't it? You must have noticed.
Yes. Yes, I think it was. Though I cannot think how he came by it.
Oh, Eleanor, I'm so happy for you. So very happy for you.
Miss Dashwood, Miss Marianne, may I present Miss Nancy Steele?
Charmed, I'm sure.
How do you do?
And her younger sister, Miss Lucy Steele.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The Miss Steeles are cousins, somehow, of Lady Middleton, and you are my cousins, somehow. So I should say that makes us all related.
Oh, it does, most certainly.
We met them in Exeter, you know.
Well, quite by chance.
I was there with Mrs. Jennings.
And we happened to go into the same shop.
And we struck up a conversation and found we were connected.
It was most amusing.
I'm sure.
Must have been.
Is your mother not with you today?
I'm afraid not. She has a slight headache and felt she must remain at home.
Oh, poor her.
That's why we thought it best that we should only stay for tea. We cannot be away from her for long.
Oh. I was very much looking forward to meeting her.
You shall meet her soon, I'm sure. We have persuaded the Miss Steeles to stay on with us.
Oh, good.
They have made themselves such favourites with the children.
Oh, we simply adore the children.
Brought a whole carriage of toys with them, you know. No, no. We shall not be letting them go for many a month.
Oh, Sir John, how funny you are.
Now, I must call for tea and tell Mrs. Jennings you've arrived. Lady Middleton won't be long. Do sit down, all of you. Excuse me for just one moment.
Of course. Come back soon. What a clever, charming man he is.
Yes.
And Lady Middleton is such a very sweet woman.
She is.
Shall we sit down?
Yes.
Oh, and how do you like Devonshire? I suppose you were very sorry to leave Sussex?
We are very happily settled here, thank you.
Oh, I should think you are. With Miss Marianne finding such a very smart beau for herself.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Mrs. Jennings has told us all about him. Rich and prodigious handsome, she says. Are there a great many smart beaux in this part of the world?
Upon my word, I cannot tell you, for I do not perfectly comprehend the meaning of the word.
Oh, for my part, I think they're a vast addition always, provided they dress smart and behave civil. But I can't bear them dirty and nasty.
Lord, Nancy, you will make the Miss Dashwoods believe you think of nothing else.
Perhaps I don't. For I am 25 and cannot stay long anywhere if there are no smart beaux to be found.
I hope you are not missing Norland.
Norland?
We have heard Sir John admire it excessively.
Oh, and Mr. Ferrars speaks of it with very great affection.
Mr. Ferrars?
Are you acquainted with the Ferrars?
Oh, you are all here together. That's just what we wanted.
How are you, Mrs. Jennings?
I'm very well, dear. I've just come from my nap. I was sorry to hear about your mamma.
Oh, I'm sure she will soon be up and about.
And how are you, Miss Marianne? Oh, yes, a little pale, as I suspected. I was sorry to hear that a certain someone who shall be nameless has had to go away.
Oh, we have just been talking of her very smart beau.
But he will be back before you know it, I'm certain. Now then, tea is on its way.
Oh, Sir John tells me you like walking, Miss Dashwood.
Yes, we do.
I wonder if you might take us on a tour of the grounds after tea.
Oh, yes!
We haven't had an opportunity to see them yet.
I'll stay here, if you don't mind. I've already been on a long walk today.
Oh, that's right. You stay with me, Miss Marianne, and you can talk about him to your heart's content, and I shall not mind a bit, I'm sure.
Oh, Nancy, you haven't brought your gloves. Run back and...